today as we come to the table.
God says, all right, you're stubborn. I'm going to be more stubborn. And I'm going to bring in more pressure on you, and I'm going to do my best to break your pride. I'm going to do my best to break you down so that you won't spend eternity in the lake of fire and separated from me, but that you'll spend eternity with me and the rest of the believers so you can be there. So we need to have a different mindset when it comes to this and realize this is some of the greatest acts of love in the bowls and the trumpets and all that. You know, although people accuse God of being harsh in this, it's really truly a great act of love, because had he not done this, they would have no chance of being saved. And we're going to see that many people are saved out of the great tribulation.
Have you ever been accused of being stubborn? Sometimes the only way to get through to a stubborn person is to be even more stubborn. If someone refuses to listen or do something, you may have to stand your ground and break them down to help them. Maybe you've been the one that needed to be broken down. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how God uses the judgments to break people's pride. He may seem harsh, but it's really an act of love, because without being broken down and forced to see sin for what it is, there would be no chance of salvation. Sometimes it takes tough love for the truth to be seen. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 8 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now we come to chapter 8 in Revelation, and it's kind of almost a, there's several turning points through the book of Revelation, almost, there's really numerous ones in there. This is kind of another turning point where we move out of the seals into the trumpets, and then we're going to find another turning point later on where we go from the trumpets right into the bowls. And of course, the seals are just the opening up of these judgments, the beginning judgments of God that are happening on the earth as the Lord buys back the earth, as he opens the title deed to it. Then we get into the trumpets, which God turns up the heat in the trumpets. We'll see an increase in what God does on the earth in his judgments. And then he really turns up the heat when we get to the bowls later on. And remember, there's a couple of reasons for this. The number one reason, God's trying to break rebellious man. Why? Because he loves them. You know, a lot of people think, well, the rapture's taken place by this point, and it has. And so God is just judging all the bad guys. Well, that's true to a degree. God is bringing judgment on those who have rejected Jesus and now have been left behind after the rapture has taken place. But that's not God's heart. The Bible says God desires that none perish. So even though they've missed the rapture, even though they've rebelled against God, his heart is still toward them. And you say, well, Mark, if his heart's still toward them, then why is he increasing all this pressure and bringing greater and greater judgments? Because he's breaking them so they'll get saved and give their life to him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I had to reach a certain level of pressure in my life before I finally broke and gave my life to the Lord. Listen, while the party is fun and good, and the consequences aren't happening, and I've got youth and you know, hadn't started having all the problems yet of aging, there's not a lot of pressure to give your life or to even think you need help, right? Because God's created us pretty amazingly. But then as God begins to allow our lives to fall apart and increases the pressure in our lives, we begin to realize, wait a minute, I'm not doing so good on my own. And you know what? Eventually I'm going to die. And what happens then? And then God uses the pressures of life to break us and bring us into the kingdom. So understand, when you see the trumpets and the bowls and all that goes on here, it is really an act of love by the Lord to bring those who are more stubborn than they should be to finally be broken and enter the kingdom of God. How many of you guys have stubborn family members and friends that although they see the change that God has made in your life, they continue to reject the Lord? The bottom line is God loves them too much just to say, all right, you're stubborn, then just die and be eternally separated from me and live in hell forever. God doesn't do that. God says, all right, you're stubborn. I'm going to be more stubborn. And I'm going to bring in more pressure on you, and I'm going to do my best to break your pride. I'm going to do my best to break you down so that you won't spend eternity in the lake of fire and separated from me, but that you'll spend eternity with me and the rest of the believers so you can be there. So we need to have a different mindset when it comes to this and realize this is some of the greatest acts of love in the bowls and the trumpets and all that. You know, although people accuse God of being harsh in this, it's really a truly a great act of love, because had he not done this, they would have no chance of being saved. And we're going to see that many people are saved out of the great tribulation. So after the rapture, multitudes get saved. Now, there's also a sequence to these I need to bring out. You know, I told you earlier that these overlap to some degree. The seals, the trumpets, and the bowls overlap a little bit. So if you're trying to separate them, you're going to find as you do that chronologically, there's a little bit of overlap. And yes, that is true. What happens is there's a sequence to the seven seals. And then when you get to the seventh seal, when the seventh seal is opened, now the seven trumpets take place. So there's an overlap of the last seal into the trumpets. Then we'll see all the trumpets take place. Then there's when the seventh trumpet happens, then you'll see the beginning of the bowls, and there's an overlap of the seventh trumpet into the bowls. So a slight overlap of each of these. However, there is a chronology of the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls as God turns up the heat step by step to get mankind's attention and to get them to finally break, as well as bringing judgment upon them for the choices they've made. Now, notice in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. This verse is amazing if you just meditate on it for a moment, for a number of reasons. If you remember, in chapters 1 through 7, all we've seen in heaven is a lot of noise. Multitudes praising God. Thunder, lightning, just lights, camera, action. I mean, there's this major deal going on up in heaven where the angels are falling down before God saying, holy, 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 you know, is the Lord God Almighty who was and who is and is to come. And they keep repeating this. And then the believers are there and we're all shouting our praises to God and waving palm branches. And the angels are, you know, shouting to God. And there's the noise of thunder, it says. And all it's just this amazing, huge deal going on, right? And this has been happening now this whole time that Revelation has started, all these things going on in heaven. And after each of the seals were opened, there was noise. You know, the angel said, you know, come look, I'll show you this. Come look, I'll show you this. What's happening? I don't know. And all these things. So this great activity. And with all this loud noise and these multitudes of people and the angels and the thunder and the lightning, and all of a sudden it just, boom, stops. Now, what a contrast. And it shows us the soberness of what's about to happen. Why would God suddenly just stop everything after all this amazing noise and fanfare and celebration and all that's happening? He gets to the seventh seal. The moment that seal is cracked open, everybody, just a hush falls on the multitudes of heaven. A hush falls on the angels. The Lord is there and everybody just standing there. You ever been in a situation where you had to just maybe be quiet for a minute or two? Just silence? Imagine that after being very noisy and everybody going crazy, where you just stand still for 30 minutes. Why would God suddenly stop all the activity of heaven? It is to show the gravity of the phase that he is about to enter into with mankind on the earth. It is about to really get serious. Now, we broke the seals. Some were broken. Some gave their life to the Lord. Some turned, but the majority of the earth didn't. And so God says, now we're going to really turn the heat up. And when the trumpets start, it's going to start getting very ugly, really fast, and really scary, and really brutal starting now. And it's almost as if everybody stops at this somber moment and goes, whoa. We just have to meditate for a moment and just realize the gravity of what our God, the God of all the universe, is about to do to mankind on the earth. You know, the Bible says when these things begin to happen in Revelation, men's hearts will fail them from fear. And if you try to really imagine these trumpets and then the bowls especially as we read them, you're going to see why. So there's this somberness and there's this soberness in heaven as it's quiet. And he says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So it's very quiet. There are these angels before God, and all of a sudden they're given these trumpets. It doesn't say who gives them the trumpets. Was it the Lord? We don't know. They're just handed these trumpets, and it's like from this dead silence, they've got these trumpets. And when an angel blows a trumpet, you're going to hear it. They've got good lungs. And now we're going to go from real quiet to real loud and real dramatic on the earth just like that once this 30 minutes is done. says, "Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints." And the language here really indicates, there may be a theological argument, but it indicates in the language, it means everybody throughout time. All the saints, that's you and I as well, upon the golden altar which is before the throne. Remember, the Bible says that God collects our prayers in heaven in bowls. The Bible talks about the prayers that you've prayed your whole life, they're in heaven before God. Some of them, he goes, no, I'm not going to do that. I see it, but I'm not going to do that, Mark. I know you thought that'd be good, but that would be not good. We're not doing that one. There's others that God says, we're going to do that. But you're going to have to wait a little while, Mark. We're going to wait on that one. I'm like, oh, man, I hate to wait. It's all right, we're going to wait. But we'll do that. We're going to wait. And then there's others where God says yes and does it right then. Those are our favorite, are they not? But the prayers that have been gathered now before the Lord that pertain to this earth and God's judgment and maybe the salvation of your family that's left behind, all these prayers now are going to be offered up to God, and the angel's going to bring this, and there's this incense mingled with prayers, and somehow it's going to take form in a sweet-smelling aroma before God as it goes up before his throne, and it's going to kick off these trumpets. Now, it's interesting because, again, remember, the temple on earth was a picture of the temple in heaven. And God would have the priests go in, and they would take incense in, remember, and they would take a coal from the altar that was hot, put it on this powder incense, and of course, when it touched it, it would begin to burn it. And you've seen incense, when people burn incense and the smoke that goes up, and you begin to smell that smell of the incense. The incense would go up before God, and the priest would take that in, and it would be representative of the prayers of the people of Israel and of God going before God, and you could visibly see this smoke going up as if to see the prayers going before God. So it was a visible manifestation of a spiritual truth. Well, now you're seeing the real deal. The real prayers that we have prayed that are gathered before the throne, this angel is going to show up with your prayers as well as mine and everybody else's, and he's going to offer this sweet incense to God, heavenly incense. What's that going to be like? I bet it's amazing. And then he's going to take, mingle our prayers in with that, and they're going to go before the Lord, and then God's going to begin to answer these things in relation to what he's doing here during these trumpets. And again, not just the judgment that he's about to bring, but I think also, Lord, save my dad. God, have mercy on my mom. Bring my friends to know you, and they're the ones that rejected, and now they've been left behind, and they're stubborn, and God's going to say, all right, I'm going after them. I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to force them to come into the kingdom. God forces no one into heaven. But I'm going to make life so miserable, they're going to want to, I hope. We hope. He knows what will happen, we don't. And he gives it there, it goes before the Lord, and notice this, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So this angel's holding this censer, boom, there it goes. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar. That is the altar of heaven. Remember, everything you see in the earthly temple is a picture of the real one. So there's a real altar in heaven. And he threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Remember, I told you it went really noisy to suddenly quiet for 30 minutes. Now it goes back to noisy. And not just noisy in heaven, noisy on earth. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. What a scene this is going to be. We're going to be there. And we're going to see this happen. So you're going to watch this going, I remember that. We covered that. This is awesome. There go our prayers. This is great. I love it. Oh, here come the trumpets. The angels are lined up and they're going to be ready right there to blow. We're going to watch this, man. We know what's going to happen. I mean, this is going to be an intense thing to watch when it really plays out. And they prepared themselves to sound and here comes the first trumpet. It says, the first angel sounded and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. Now, we're going to see something interesting. The first four trumpets are going to be dealing with the earth and nature. We're going to see the earth and nature judged. We're going to see the trees burned up. We're going to see the waters polluted. We're going to see just, you know, all these things happening as this takes place, and there's going to be results in mankind as well. Then we'll see specific results toward mankind in the last three trumpets. We'll get to that. Why is this interesting to me? Because again, when I see this happening, especially the hail and the lightning, the hail and fire, fire in scripture is the way God refers to lightning. But when you see this hail and lightning coming down, it reminds me of the judgments of God in the movie, The Ten Commandments, the judgments on Egypt. Remember, one of the judgments was hail came down and lightning was striking and it just destroyed all the vegetation and all these things happened. Then these locusts came out and ate everything. Why was God doing that? It's interesting. God was doing that because he was judging the gods of Egypt. And he was showing the gods of Egypt that he is God. They're not God, he is God. Now, once again, when we get in the last days, we're going to see God once again judging nature. Why? Not just because it's man's sustenance, not just because it's man's, you know, delight as far as beauty. Because man, by then and even now, is beginning to worship nature once again. See, back in the days of the judgments of God in the Old Testament there in Egypt, they were worshiping nature. They were worshiping the stars, the sun, the moons, the trees. They worshiped nature, and they had gods for all these different things. Now, we're way too sophisticated today to have gods, you know, to worship trees. We just hug them. Or gods to worship the stars or whatever it is. But guys, mankind is doing the same thing that man did back then. And God tells us in Romans chapter 1, when mankind rejects the true God, they begin to worship what he created rather than him. And I believe that is what is pushing this environmental movement that we're seeing in our day. Now, when I say that, don't you want to take care of them? Of course, we need to be stewards of what God has given us. But the Bible says that God gave us trees and the ocean and nature to show his glory. And when we begin to take the thing that is supposed to show his glory and we begin to worship it, and rather than having God Day, we have Earth Day, God says, I'll remove that God. I'm going to judge that God. I will destroy that God. And the thing that you're trying so hard to preserve, oh, don't hurt the trees. Oh, don't hurt the water. Don't hurt the environment. He says, I'm going to wipe it out. I'm going to make it uninhabitable. I'm going to burn the trees up. I'm going to pollute your air. We'll see that in just a moment. I'm going to soil the oceans and all your waters where you don't even have drinking water. You love that so much. You want to put that before me. That's your focus, and you want to make that better than everything. He says, you know, you're going to worship animals even above your babies. And we talked about that on Sunday. I'm going to judge it. I'm going to remove the obstacles that are keeping you from looking where you're supposed to look, which is not at nature or the earth, but me, God would say. And so now it begins. A third of all the trees burned up. All the green grass is gone. Can you imagine what it's going to look like on the earth with no green grass? And a third of the trees on the earth now burned up. That's the first trumpet. Now we see the angel standing there, and notice this. Then the second angel blows his trumpet. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Now, it's interesting. Remember, the prophets were doing the best they could, and John was doing the best he could to describe what he was seeing. And oftentimes they'll say it was like this, or it kind of resembled that, because they've never seen it. He didn't know how to describe it. And yet, isn't it interesting that one of the concerns in the scientific community today is asteroids striking the earth? Large meteors or asteroids. As a matter of fact, from the one that struck there right outside of Flagstaff, Arizona, many people believe that that could have literally spun the earth around. It's such a large crater that it could have actually had an axis shift on something that big hitting the earth. And what it would appear we're seeing here, and it's interesting to me to see these articles where we have NASA actually working with our leaders in Washington with nuclear weapons. They're actually working about how we could shoot them down if we know one's coming to the earth. They literally have a plan to shoot nuclear weapons up, try to stop these things before they hit the earth. Because scientists are saying we're getting more and more close passes. And when you watch the news, one came by very close. And of course, they'll name how far away it is. And it seems really far. But it's not that far when you're talking, you know, the distance of the earth and something shifting just a little bit and striking the earth. It's a big deal. Now, the reason it hasn't happened up to this point and that man's not been wiped out is because God has not allowed it to happen. But remember, during this time, God is removing his hand of protection from the earth. And I believe what we're seeing here with this second trumpet is probably an asteroid flying in and striking the oceans. Now, can you imagine an asteroid striking the ocean? Listen, an earthquake in the ocean sends tsunami walls of water going 500 miles an hour across the ocean until they strike land, you know, with these huge walls of water. If you saw the picture, something like 30-foot wall of water in that one that came in and struck, you know, recently, and they were showing pictures of it. And I remember seeing this some man down there. And he's standing down there from a distance. Who's filming this? I don't know. But you saw this wall of water coming some 30 feet high. And he just looks at it and it just keeps going. And you realize there's no way he ever lived. The last thing he saw was this giant wall of water. You know, it's interesting. Scientists say that something like this, if an asteroid hit the ocean, you're talking probably at least 200-foot waves. Imagine 200-foot waves, how high that would be. And imagine, even if it came in on either coast of our United States, how many states in would that go? How far would it go? How many miles in would it go before it stopped? I don't know. But the wall of water would just be amazingly fearful. You would realize there's no hope. You know what's interesting? I had a dream this week about a giant wall of water, about somewhere around 200 feet tall, striking the United States. And that's before I did this study. And I'm like, it was a horrible. I was like, there, I saw this thing coming. I'm like, okay, this is it. I mean, I wasn't scared about my what was going to happen. I knew I was going to go to heaven. But I'm having this dream of this giant, maybe because I was at the ocean. I don't know. But this giant wall of water coming in, just, and I realized every one of us for so many miles in, we're all going to drown. There is no hope. You can't get beyond. It was amazingly high and just the hole as far as you could see. That's what scientists say it would be like if an asteroid struck the ocean in whatever area of land it hit. This is what's going to happen. Now you know why it says men's hearts will fail them from fear of the things coming upon the earth. And so here comes this great wall coming in of water. A third of the sea became blood. Now, again, it doesn't have to be literal blood, as in it all became blood, but stirred up with the blood of animals, the blood of mankind that are on the water, as well as the dirt and all that was stirred up. No doubt it's going to be a blood color with blood mingled in that. As a third of the sea is destroyed, now we saw God strike nature in the trees, and now God strikes nature in the ocean. And it says, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So what sea is it talking about? I don't know for sure. But one of the seas will be struck, and this is going to happen. Now, let me encourage you guys, if you're saying, because by the time the Lord is done with the earth, it is completely destroyed. The air is totally polluted. The trees are all burned up. The oceans are ruined. All the streams can't even drink any water anymore by the time the Lord's done. However, what's really cool, when Jesus Christ comes back at the end of this 7 years, the Bible says when he establishes his throne there in Jerusalem, that from the south side of the throne, a fresh spring of water is going to come out from the earth. It's going to be no doubt supernaturally touched by God. It would have to be. It's going to flow down toward, hit the Jordan, and go on down to the Dead Sea. The Bible says the Dead Sea will spring to life and be a major fishing port during the 1,000-year reign. And then it says it's going to go the other direction, hit the Mediterranean, and the seas, the oceans of the world will be restored to the pristine state of Adam and Eve's day. In other words, the earth is going to be beautiful. The oceans are going to sparkle. It says that the deserts will spring to life, and he literally, the Bible tells us, is going to destroy everything. He's going to take mankind's gods out of the way. Stop worshiping the earth. Stop it. Look to me. He's going to completely wipe out their gods, and then he's going to restore everything for those who believe and enter the kingdom of God, and the entire earth is going to be like it was with Adam and Eve before the fall. That's going to be amazing. So, lest you despair over the ruined oceans, they're coming back. They're going to be better than ever. And so it's exciting to see what God's going to do. But at this point, it's not very exciting, at least for the people on the earth, and it's going to be devastating. That's just two trumpets. Told you he was turning up the heat, didn't I?
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is going through some teachings that cover Revelation. The book of Revelation is always one of those books that either draws people in or sends them running in confusion. But it doesn't have to be so puzzling that you stay away. In fact, as Pastor Mark's been going through these passages, our hope is that you're coming to a deeper and greater realization of who Jesus is in all of it. Thanks for tuning in, and we'd like to invite you to come visit us even this week. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this weekend. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we'd love for you to bring the whole family. Every time we gather, it's another opportunity for you to grow in how you're experiencing God. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. And if you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. That website again is thewaymedia.net. You can also get in touch with us over the phone at 865-609-1385. One more time, that number to connect with us is 865 609-1385. That's about all the time we have for today. But please join us again in Revelation right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.